Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
We're going to worship real quick. I had a word. Lisa Flores, would you stand out? This is Lisa Flores, beautiful singer extraordinaire. I just felt, actually, even in the first service, like when you were singing, I just recognized there's a confidence in your voice now. Like, it's like you're coming into a new territory. Like before, it's like you were kind of led in maybe different directions, and there was like a hesitation, there was an uneasiness. But I just feel like in this season, God is putting His confidence in you, and you're singing out with His voice. You're singing out with a clarity now that you never have before, and He is enriching you right now. He's charging you up for this season ahead, that you're going to continue to walk in His confidence, in His grace, and you're never going to go back to hesitation or uneasiness, that it's actually His joy that is your strength in this season. Amen. And speaking of confidence, Dorothy, can you stand up too? How good was she? Just the clarity, the clearness, confidence that you're walking in. And I just see, like you're very learned. You're a PhD, you have a degree, you've spent a lot of time in school, and you were excellent at that because of your faithfulness and because of your heart. And what I just hear God speaking for you today, you know, and into this next season, it's actually like that confidence in Him that's going to build up the faith that inside of you. So like from this point forward, like you're still going to have all like the knowledge, the instruction, the wisdom that you have already attained, but God is going to increase you in the area of faith. He's going to take you into territory where nothing that you learned is going to prepare you for what's next. You're going to have to rely on Him. You're going to have to rely on His presence. And as you walk out in that faith, the confidence is just going to grow. It's going to increase. And you're actually going to speak not out of what you know, but out of what He's revealing to you. There's a new reveal word that He has prepared for you in this season, in this time. And God is excited to see you operate and walk in that. Come on. I love these beautiful ladies. And it's amazing. Somehow, I don't know how, they're both single. Maybe the men of C3 need to step up their game a little bit, I think. Come on, a lot of it. So you can submit your applications in writing to Lisa at C3 San Diego. Make sure you include your W-4 and a photo picture as well, and she will approve you to go and talk to them. Amen? All right. I guess I'll send you down again. Come on, thanks for sticking around. It was good to have you up there for that. Just felt like God, you know, had a couple of words that He wanted to send out. Like, it's so amazing when you just spend time in the house and you spend time around God. He reveals things to you, and He opens up avenues, possibilities for you to do something that maybe you've never done before, for you to accelerate your life. We're in our Accelerate series right now, and I thought I'd kick this off with a little tribute to my Grandpa Ken and my Uncle Tony, who are in heaven right now. Two things that I know that they had in common is they loved the Lord, and they loved to build and race motorcycles. I've got a couple of pictures that I wanted to show you. Can we throw the first one? There we go. That handsome gentleman in the middle right there is my Grandpa Ken, you know, standing in front of a Top Fuel bike that the MTC engineering team race, and the little trophy there in front, victorious. He built this company to create die-cast parts for motorbikes, and he loved to be a part of racing. And he even took me to a race one time. We go to the next slide. And this is my Uncle Tony. He's warming up the tires on his Top Fuel bike, getting ready for a race. And if you've never been to a race, the one thing that just stands out above all else is it is so loud. Those bikes produce so much noise. And you can't really see in this picture, but this guy right there, he's standing there without any earmuffs on. And I don't know how he still has any hearing at all. Like those bikes, they're just so amazing, the power in it. And the race only lasts like 6 seconds. Like these things fly down that quarter mile. But it's a great experience. And I did not inherit the title Gearhead by any means. You know, I can't tell you anything more about that bike than what I already have. But one thing that I think is safe to say that I did inherit was a love of acceleration. And Exhibit A is actually a VHS tape for you My City kids. That's what we used to watch movies before DVDs. And it's in my parents' house of a little skydiving adventure that I went on when I was in college. And I conveniently neglected to tell my parents about this little adventure that I was going to go on until I brought the VHS tape home and just popped it in the VCR and hit play and, you know, had to take a look at what I've been doing in college. My mom wasn't too happy. But I said, hey, I'm here. Nothing happened, right? Like, everything is good. It's all good. Exhibits B through, we'll just call it G, were provided to me courtesy of nice men with radar guns who wear badges. And unfortunately, that didn't end well for me. But not all my love of acceleration is negative, right? Like, so it actually served me well on the sports fields, you know, playing soccer, blowing past defenders. You know, that acceleration came in handy. And the truth that I found from my life that I think is true for all of us is that acceleration is a great ability if, very important if, it's used correctly. In other words, are you pointed in the right direction when you accelerate? They say that hindsight is 20/20. You know, we can look behind us and see, you know, maybe some mistakes we've made, maybe some victories that we've had in our past. It's easy to see when we look back, and you know, we've all kind of had, a handful of if onlys or I'm glad I's. Like, if only I'd called her back. If only I had studied harder for that test. If only I hadn't gone 10 rounds with Jose Cuervo. Or I'm glad that I took a chance on that investment. You know, or ladies, how about this one? I'm glad that I did not date him. Come on. Well, hindsight is 20/20 in a lot of cases. But there's each of us actually has maybe just a few things in our life, a few turning points that when we look back, they were really life-altering decisions. Like, do I go to college or not? You know, who am I going to marry? Like, who's my spouse going to be? Life-changing turning points in our life. For me, as I look back, I had a couple of big turning points that I wanted to share with you. One was I was in the Air Force, and I was getting ready to separate. You know, my time in the service was coming to an end, and I was kind of looking at the landscape of my life, trying to decide, you know, what was I going to do? What was my next career going to be? And I, you know, really felt like drawn to this one particular area of aerospace in the industry of unmanned aerial vehicles, you know, creating drone aircraft. And that was, you know, kind of in school, I'd seen that as an emerging technology. It was an avenue that was going to be growing big. And I continued, as I was leaving the Air Force, I continued to want to pursue that. You know, but jobs were kind of hard to come by in that specific field. You know, I had gone on an interview and I'd talked to some people, but nothing was really coming to fruition in that area. And the time was drawing near. I was about to separate and I didn't have a job yet. But I really felt like not just to do anything, not just to get any kind of job, like to really stand firm in my belief, in my focus. And I was told about this company out in San Diego called General Atomics that specialized in that field. And so I submitted my resume online and I talked to somebody, but it didn't really go anywhere. And then I heard that they were going to have a career fair in LA. You know, I felt like, well, I can sell myself better in person, you know, like, you know, maybe just take the chance and go out and talk to some people. The problem was I was living in Ohio at the time, you know, but I said, you know, I really felt like it was the right thing. So I took the leap of faith and I bought a plane ticket out here, got my own hotel, rental car, everything on my own dime. You know, because I felt like it was the right thing to do. And through a series of amazing God stories, long story short is God moved and I got the job. I came out here to San Diego, and that was the start of a major turning point in my life. Let's back up 12 years before that. You know, I was about 12 or 13 years old in the sixth grade, and unquestionably the biggest turning point in my life, and I think it's true for any of us here that have a similar story, is when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. I look at that moment and I know without a shadow of a doubt that was the main turning point in my life. That was the biggest decision that I had ever made. And my story happened at a good old-fashioned tent revival in Tulsa, Oklahoma. You know, it was actually another thing that I didn't do, that my parents didn't know I was doing. Some friend just invited me to come check out this service. So I went and, man, I felt the power of God, the presence of God in that place. You know, I felt Him move in a way that maybe only a couple times in my life I've felt that type of presence. I felt that type of impact where He reaches in and He touches every part of your life, every part of your heart. And you just can't help but to open yourself up to what He has for you. We've all got a few turning points in our life like that. And in cases good and bad, actually, if we really look at it, we tend to focus on just that one pivotal moment, but it's actually a series of steps that brought us to that situation. On the bad hand, you know, they say the devil's in the details. You know, it's a lot of those little choices that we make, the little rationalizations, the little things that we neglect or we don't do that actually leads us to that place where ultimately we have that bad turning point, that bad moment in our life. And the similar is true on the good side. Success is actually a sum total of a lot of good decisions. You know, good decisions that we make over time. You know, maybe God is asking you to take a little step of faith, you know, and that little step doesn't seem like much, but that little step will lead to another step, to another step, to another step. All of a sudden, you're on a mountaintop that you didn't even know existed. God is moving in your life. He's bringing those wins, those successes in your life because you made those series of good decisions. The focus of this message, you know, what I want to talk about today is actually what happens next. What happens after that pivotal moment, that turning point in your life? You know, a lot of times, like after the turning point, like on the bad side, you know, we can say, well, my life just continued to spiral out of control. There was really nothing I could do about it. That was like kind of the cliff that I fell over. Or on the good side, you know, we can say, yes, after I had that win, I just continued to go from victory to victory to victory. You know, but maybe there's sometimes as well, like where after that pivotal moment, it's kind of a blur of neither great nor awful. It's just kind of life. You're just kind of going through the motions. Well, the central thesis, if you will, for this message is this. It's the decisions after our greatest successes and failures that shape the landscape of our lives. For example, Emerge was a powerful time for a lot of men. You know, they saw, their eyes were open. They had a groundbreaking, like a mindset shifting experience. But the reality is this, that it's only a life-changing experience if you then go on and change your life when you get back home. If you have that fire, if you catch hold of something new, something powerful, but then you do nothing with it, eventually your life is just going to default back to the way it was. You actually have to do something new. You have to change a circumstance. Maybe you have to delete a few contacts in your phone. Whatever it is that God's asking you to do after that life-changing experience, I want to encourage you to do it. So where do we turn after our turning point? And this applies if you've accepted Christ for the first time, if maybe you're about to get married, or maybe you got shot down when you went to ask that special someone to the prom. You know, whatever it is, maybe you lost your job, or maybe you're walking through a failed marriage. Where do we turn after our turning point? We all find ourselves at that place, at some place like that in life, where we're at the fork in the road, you know, and we have to make that decision. You know, what do I do now? The title of this message is Crossroads. Crossroads. The last couple of weeks in the life of the church have been powerful. We had Good Friday, Easter services, our hero production. We saw hundreds, literally hundreds of people give their lives to Christ, to accept Him as their Lord and Savior, make that amazing, momentous decision in their life. And I think a lot of those people are asking the question now, well, where do I go from here? What do I do next? Or maybe some of us here today, you know, are walking through life. Maybe we've been walking with Jesus for a while now, but you feel like I did at some point, you know, not people in C3, but we're talking about other churches, where you feel a little bit like a hamster on the wheel, right? Like you're just kind of going through the motions. There's like a religiousness about it, and you're doing something, and you're thinking to yourself, man, I know there's got to be a piece of cheese around here somewhere, but I just can't get my hands on it. Well, I want to help you find that cheese today, amen? Come on. There's a parable in Matthew that provides some answers. Are you guys ready? Let's dig in. Come on. This is the parable of the farmer who scatters seed in Matthew 13:4-8. We'll pick it up.
As he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plants soon wilted under the hot sun. And since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among the thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, even 100 times as much as had been planted. What's interesting about this passage of Scripture is that it's the same seed that was scattered, but it's actually the condition of the soil that determines the health of the plant. What I've found, what God showed me in this, is that there's four types of soil that are mentioned in this scripture, and they actually correspond to four different directions that we can take when we hit that turning point in our life. When we come up to that momentous decision, there's four cardinal directions, if you will, that we can take. And maybe you'll say, like, you'll hear these directions and you think, well, I mean, it kind of applies to me, or maybe I'm halfway in between one direction or the other. Well, I want to encourage you, like, these principles are still true and they still apply, because the truth is there's only one direction that we each need to be taking in our own walk with God. Each of us has one path, one direction that He has called us to walk in. The first direction I want to talk about, I call it East of Eden. East of Eden. This is a place where maybe you've experienced victory in your life. Maybe you've had that mountaintop experience, but somehow, some way, you're just living just to the side of abundant life. You're living just to the side of that breakthrough, that power that you felt when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Maybe your desire is to get back to that place, but you don't know how. Maybe you do feel like a hamster on a wheel, like where you're just spinning and spinning and spinning, and you're working and you're not really getting anywhere. One thing that we have to remember if we're in that situation, and I was in this situation as well, actually for about 6 years after my salvation, where I had received Christ, but then I had kind of moved back to my home in Kentucky and back into the church that I grew up in, a Methodist church, and it was a great church, you know, and they brought the Word of God, but it really just lacked power. You know, it lacked that life-altering, life-shifting experience that I had seen, that I had felt, that presence that I had felt, like, just wasn't in that place for me. You know, maybe it was for other people, but it wasn't there for me. And for me, in my life, everything was just, it was kind of okay. I was just in school, I was in sports, and I guess I really felt like I didn't need a miracle. As we come down in Matthew 13, Jesus starts to talk about what the different types of soil mean. So let's pick up in verse 22. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. I had heard that good message from an amazing evangelist like we had a few weeks back in Lucas Connell. Like, people who've heard that message, but then, you know, they just kind of are walking through life. Like, they don't change anything. They don't do anything different. And it seems like their situations or circumstances just never increase. They never get past those struggles, those trials. We need to look at our lives. We need to do an inspection of our lives, especially after that turning point. After we receive Christ, we need to come back and ask ourselves, like, where do I need to clean house? You know, what do I need to shift? How can I change my life? Where does my focus need to be now? Where can I do something different that I didn't do before to see God move in a powerful way in my life? And I know for each of us, if you're living east of Eden, that God has something that He wants you to shift, some focus He wants you to change. You see, the devil is very happy, actually, to leave you just spinning on that wheel, my dear hamster. He's happy to let you just live that life where you're not really getting anywhere. You're not experiencing power, you're not experiencing breakthrough, and he might not even mess with you in that place. And I'll tell you why, because he knows that if he gets you off that wheel, if you fall into a pit, if you fall into a trial that you can't handle at your own, you might just do something crazy like pick up the Bible and start reading. You might realize that you actually need power, you need authority, you need the presence of God in your life. You might do something like go to a prayer group, a prayer meeting. Watch out, devil. He doesn't want you doing that. So he's happy to keep you just spinning on that wheel, just living in the monotony of religion. And I was in that place, and I needed to break out of it. The most important thing that we need to realize if you're in that place is that You cannot let the devil or wait for the devil to mess up your life. You actually have to be proactive and seek power, seek authority, seek the presence of God before you need it. And that will give you the grace. That will give you the ability to see what God is already doing in your life. It'll allow you to see how he's moving and how he's shaping your life and how he's creating a culture that honors him and what his path for you is gonna be. You need to realize that power before you find yourself pointed in the next direction. The wild, wild west. Matthew 13, 19 says the seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. The wild, wild west. It's a place full of roller coasters. There's gonna be highs, there's gonna be lows. You're gonna be shifted around. Your landscape is gonna shake. And what's important or interesting about this characteristic or this direction is that people here are often just driven by emotions. They're driven by feelings. Whichever way the wind is blowing, that's the way I'm gonna follow. You don't have a foundation. You don't have a truth that you can rely on, that you can hold on to. You're not planted in a house. You're not planted in your faith. You're just chasing your feelings. But we as a church can actually help people in this situation. We as a church can stand up. We can lift up our shield of faith and actually guard and protect some people that the seed has fallen on the footpath. We can guard those people and maybe actually get some water. We can water them and nurture that soil, start to soften the soil so that they actually can allow time for the seed to be planted, for the roots to go down deep, and for that healthy plant to come up. We can lift up our sword of the Spirit and we can actually chase off those scavengers, those birds that would try and steal the seed that's been planted. We can fight. We can do battle against the evil one. We as a church need to stand up. We need to protect these people that are living in the wild, wild west. It's kind of like being in a real life game of snakes and ladders when you're living out in the west. You're just walking along and maybe you experience some breakthrough. You climb up that ladder. You're feeling good about yourself. You're experiencing that joy, but then all of a sudden you're not guarding your step and then you step on a snake and then you fall down, maybe even below where you even started, below that place that you were at when you had your breakthrough. We need to guard our steps. We need to guard our hearts. And actually the problem here is just a lack of wisdom, but the Bible's got us covered. Amen. Come on, let's take a look at James 1, 5 through 8. If you need wisdom, that's everybody, by the way, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person divided with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave on the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Ouch. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world. They're unstable in everything that they do. People in this situation a lot of times will find that they have one foot in the world and one foot in church. And there's actually a draw, there's an attraction in both ways. You know, there's a pull in both ways. The world is kind of pulling you one way, and God and the house are kind of pulling you another way, and you can see this is not going anywhere good fast. You know, you actually have to recognize that situation, recognize that both of those situations, you know, neither one of them is really fulfilling when you're like that. It kind of puts you in an uncomfortable position, and you feel there's like an unsettledness when you're in the world because they're doing stuff that you don't really agree with, and there's kind of an unsettledness in church, and maybe you're not receiving something, the full power, the full authority, the grace that he has for you. We need to jump out of the world and plant ourselves firmly in the church. This was my life the next 4 years. My wild, wild college years. And I think a lot of us can sometimes have a similar situation or a similar testimony. And it's because the scripture said, I didn't understand the message. I didn't understand the truth about the power that we can have, the grace that we can have in Christ. And the evil one came into my life and I fell into temptation. The biggest regret in my life, if I could look back, go back and change anything in my life, it would be this. When I was in college, I made the decision to have my girlfriend move in with me. And I tell you why it's my biggest regret. One, I mean, obviously because it was not a godly relationship, but it created bonds in our relationship. It created bonds that should not have been there outside of marriage. You know, when we move in with somebody, it should be when we're married, and it's going to create the bonds that will keep you together throughout your life. But if you take that step before you're married, it creates these bonds that shouldn't be there yet, and it causes us to kind of overlook certain maybe character issues with the person. It causes us to overlook, you know, situations or circumstances that normally we'd have might have ended the relationship, but because we're living together, it's out of convenience we're just going to stay together, you know, and it starts to override certain little voices that we hear that are saying, hey, maybe this isn't the right person for you. But, you know, because of the situation, because of the circumstances, you know, maybe I can change them a little bit. You know, maybe they'll get over that bad habit. Well, more often than not, that's not the case. It doesn't work that way. So single people here today, learn from my lesson. Don't make the mistake. Don't have that same regret. Don't move in with somebody until you're married. Amen. Come on. And for anyone living in the wild, wild west, I have this one simple piece of advice. Get out of Dodge as quick as possible. Otherwise, you might find yourself facing the next direction. And this can be particularly deceiving. The sinkhole south. It might seem like you're walking on solid ground. It might seem like you have a foundation under your feet, but the reality is there's no structure, there's no support, there's no faith that's going to sustain you when you walk into a serious trial. There's nothing that's going to keep you up above the muck, up above the despair, up out of that dirtiness. And a lot of us, you know, can be actually walking on this situation, be in church and walking above the sinkhole south, because we're doing it out of a works-based mentality. We're thinking, if I just go to church, if I just read my Bible, then everything is going to be fine. Like, I got to work, I got to do this. If I'm a good person, if I don't tell lies, if I don't steal, then everything is going to be okay. I'm going to have that foundation. But the truth is, without faith, there is no foundation. You have to have faith to have a true foundation, that when you walk through the trial, you're going to come out unscathed, that all things work together for good for those who love Christ and are called according to his purpose in your life. Because eventually that earthquake will come. You will experience a tremor. And it's kind of like the game Icebreaker, if you've ever played that. All the little blocks like pressed in together, and you go take turns and you like pop out the blocks, and the unfortunate person who hits that last block that just has the tension to keep everything together, when they hit that block, everything just comes crashing down. That's where you're living if you're living in the sinkhole south. You're walking on that unsure, that shakable foundation. And it can happen fast, almost without warning. Everything will just fall out from under your feet. We look at the soil in Matthew 13, 20 to 21. It says the seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. After I left college, I was commissioned as an officer in the Air Force, and I was stationed in Dayton, Ohio. And my girlfriend at the time, she made the decision. She wanted to come along with me. And me, out of convenience, I just said, okay, sure. But I got into that life, and I began to be convicted by the Holy Spirit. Because of my upbringing, I knew that I was not living a godly relationship. I knew that that wasn't right in his eyes, and it wasn't right in my parents' eyes. And so I started to feel like, you know, something had to change in that situation. So out of the wrong decisions, we decided to get married. And you might see where this is going, but because it was out of those wrong decisions, because I didn't, you know, have the right mentality going into that situation, that relationship, it was all just a house of cards that was ready to topple over. And eventually, that marriage did fail. It ended in divorce. And around about the same time, actually, the Air Force was downsizing my particular career field. And they said, thank you for the time, but we don't need your service anymore. And so I had lost my marriage. I lost my job. I was at the lowest point in my life. But it was actually in that lowest point that I recognized a few saving graces. One was the church that I was in. I wouldn't say it was a power church, but they loved God. And they loved me. They loved people. They actually provided the opportunity for me to rededicate my life to Christ, to get baptized, actually. And it was a statement of faith for me that was saying, no matter what my situation is, You know, in this place, I want to give my life back to Jesus. I want to live a dedicated life for him. I was also in a connect group, you know, and I was around some great people who wanted to love on me and wanted to encourage me, lift up my life. And there was actually one gentleman in that group who had walked through a similar situation to me. And he was able to give me some advice, give me some wise counsel. And I was able to lean on him. And I found rest. I found solace in that. And I had some great advice from my dad. The simple word that he gave me was, in the middle of this trial, in the middle of this dark hour, find joy. Whatever you can do, find joy. James 1, 2 through 4 says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, for the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. From 1994, when I first accepted Christ, to 2007, when I hit rock bottom, I had walked for 13 years not experiencing the same power that I did when I originally accepted Christ. I had walked for 13 years just going through the motions like the hamster on the wheel. But it was in that moment, it was in my darkest hour, where I finally experienced the breakthrough power, the presence of God, like I had originally. I felt his power, and I just wept. I wept. And it was actually one of the greatest moments in my life, because in that trial, in that darkest hour, I found joy. I found his presence again. I found that thing that had been missing from my life for 13 years. I found my last direction, my true north. Matthew 7, 13 and 14 says this. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad and the gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow and the road is difficult, and only a few will ever find it. We're presented in life with many different avenues that we can go down, many different options, many different roads that we can take. But the truth is that we're called to walk the straight and narrow path. There's one path that each of us needs to follow. It's the one path that God has provided for us. And over the course of time, all of us have to have little course corrections. We all may deviate a little bit one side or the other. We all may, you know, be about to put our foot in the wrong place, and God will just gently, kindly, the Holy Spirit, he'll nudge us back to the right place. And if we listen to him, we'll avoid that pitfall. You know, we need to listen to God when he gives us those little course corrections. We need to listen to his truth. It's kind of like thinking about true north versus magnetic north. There's actually a difference, you know, in the earth based on the polarity of the earth where magnetic north will point. If you take out a compass, that'll point to magnetic north because of the polarity. But it's actually different, slightly off from what geographic true north is. You see, the world will constantly try and deviate you just slightly from where God actually wants you to be. The world will give you they'll give you kind of the right direction, but there's always something different about it. There's always something that's just off. We actually have to trust our heart, not our compass, a lot of times. We need to trust the word of God, not what the world is saying. We need to trust what he's speaking to us, what he's revealing to us, not what our neighbor who has a broken marriage, a bad relationship, is full of deceit and lies, is telling us that we should do. Maybe we need to seek his face, not Facebook. Amen. It actually tells us in the very next verse how we can do this. Matthew 7, 15 and 16. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Watch this. You will know them by their fruits. Fruits. Not just one good thing they did. It says fruits. There's like multiple good things in their life. You're seeing blessing. You're seeing favor. You're seeing encouragement. They're uplifting you. They're encouraging you. You'll know them by their fruits. Proverbs 15:24 says, the way of life winds upward for the wise. We need to start making wise choices. We need to get ourselves around wise counsel, godly people, and it'll help you start making good decisions. It'll help you, your life, to wind upward in Christ. One of the best decisions I ever made was when I said yes when a certain beautiful young lady invited me to C3. From that one decision, that one choice, that was a turning point in my life. I've seen blessing. I've seen favor. I've seen increase that could only have come from God. Only God could have taken me out of the pit that I was in and brought me to a new height with him, a new level, from victory to victory to victory. It's not that we haven't had struggles and trials. It's just that he's always brought the faith to sustain me through any of it. I've always looked back to that moment when I cried out for joy and he came into my life. And I know no matter what, I'll never be without his joy again. No matter what, I will never fall down into that pit again because of my faith in him, because of what he did for me, brought me in that place of victory. The final soil. Matthew 13:23 says, "The seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 50, of 30, 60, even 100 times as much as been planted." We all need to set our heading to true north, or reset our heading and start living God's plan for our life. The simple question I have for us all today is, what direction are you headed? If you're pointed anywhere but true north, this is the time to change your heading. This is time to reset that compass. You know, maybe it's just a small little heading change. Maybe you're walking generally in the right direction, but you know there's just a couple areas, a couple of things where you need to get that right with God. You need to inspect the fruit in your life. Get yourself around wise counsel. Matthew 16:24 says, "Pick up your cross daily." And it tells us in Hebrews 12:2-3, how we can maintain our true north. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. So good. Keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't be weary and give up. His cross became our crossroad. And not just for us, for all mankind. Anybody who has ever or will ever accept Christ as their Lord and Savior has come to that place at the cross where you cast everything onto him. You cast your cares. Unquestionably, it's the biggest turning point in any of our lives when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. The truth is, it doesn't matter where your road took you before the cross. It doesn't matter what you were walking in or what pit you fell in. It doesn't matter how good your life was, even, because the cross is the great equalizer. It levels the playing field. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. But as we come to that cross, as we accept that free gift, we can have a new life in him. What matters now for all of us is the road that you're taking from the cross. What you do after the turning point, when you hit the crossroads. If you're east of Eden, stuck in that wheel like the hamster, if you're in that place of complacency where you know there's just something more, but you just can't bring yourself to break out of it, then I want to pray for you today. If you're in the Wild West where you're living for feelings, you're just living by emotions, and there's highs and lows, and you're all over the place, you're one foot in the world, you're one foot in the church, and you just want some clarity, you want some peace in your situation, then I want to pray for you. If you feel like you might be walking over a sinkhole to the south, if you feel like there's an absence of faith in your life, there's an absence of support, there's an absence of structure, then I want to pray for you today. But more than anything else, if you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is the day. Today is the day where you come to the crossroads. You accept that free gift of salvation. You accept a new life with him, that you are a new creation in him, that he has a plan, he has a purpose for you, not to harm you, but to lift you up, to encourage you, to build you up, to see 30, 60, 100-fold return in your life. Each one of us can have that when we accept Christ. So if we could all just bow our heads, close our eyes. I want to pray with you today. First and foremost, if you've never accepted Christ into your heart, into your life as your Lord and Savior, I would love to pray with you today. I'm going to count to three. And when I get to three, if that's you, if you're saying, "I know that I need Jesus in my life, I know that I want to spend my life in heaven," then I just want you to lift your hand. So right now, one, he has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you. He has a calling for your life. Bring yourself to the cross. And God is going to do amazing things in and through you. Two, if you've never accepted Jesus, this is the time, friend. With all heads bowed, all eyes closed, this is just between you and God. This is how he is moving in your heart, moving in your life. He wants to do something powerful. right now, three. If that's you, just lift up that hand. If you've never accepted life, yes, I see that hand. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. Yes, yes, yes. God bless you. Thank you so much. Today is the day, friend, where you receive that gift, that true gift of salvation. Thank you so much. God bless you. Is there anybody else? I feel like there might be something else, somebody else, and you're kind of in that place of indecision, of struggle, where you're kind of tossed between two camps, the world and the church, the world and God. You know, and I'm encouraging you today, just a few more seconds, if that's you, just lift up that hand. I believe God is going to do something miraculous in your life. He's going to change a circumstance. He's going to change a situation, bring you into new life with Him. Anybody like that today? Anybody like that? God bless you. Thank you for those hands that were lifted up. I'm going to pray with you. Right now, if there's anybody here today who knows in their heart of hearts that they're not pointed to true north, if they need to change their heading, if they're in a situation or circumstances that's, you know, you're facing the wrong way, and you just need to get your life back on track with God, you need to get your life right with Him, I want to pray with you today. So why don't we do this right now? If that's you, if you know you're living east of Eden or a sinkhole south or wild, wild west or anywhere in between, if you're not pointed true north, just right now, would you do something courageous for me? Would you just stand up? Stand up right now. I'd love to pray with you. If you want to be headed true north, just go ahead and stand up right now. Be courageous. Be bold. God wants to shift a circumstance in your life. If you need to recalibrate your compass, if you got something, yes, thank you so much. I see you right there. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. God wants to shift that direction in your life. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. He's shifting that direction. He's pointing you to true north. Maybe He's revealing what true north is for you. Maybe you don't even know that you're not pointed in the right direction. I just pray that God would reveal that to you right now as we stand to our feet. Let's do this. Let's all stand to our feet. Let's all stand to our feet right now. And I want to pray with you. God bless you. God bless all these people right now. I thank you so much for those ones who lifted their hand to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Right now, let's do this, church. Let's all just repeat after me. Repeat this prayer, this simple prayer. Say, Dear Heavenly Father. Come on, let's everybody together, let's all pray this. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross for my sins. I repent of my sins. I desire to live a life that honors you. I thank you for directing my path. And right now I declare that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, that heaven is my home, and God is my Father. And I will live the rest of my days with His joy in my heart. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So proud of you all. God, I thank you for all your amazing people. I thank you that you are pointing us all to true north, God. I thank you for your presence in our life, that joy that passes understanding, that peace, your love filling us up right now afresh, God, that you're directing our steps. You're giving us those little course corrections that we would honor you by heeding your word, by heeding that nudge, by heeding your direction for our lives, that we can continue to walk our true north, your true north, all the days of our life. And it's in Jesus' mighty name that we pray. Amen. Amen. So good, church. If you raise your hand to give your life to Christ, we have some amazing friends over here. They'd love to give you a Bible and give you a little book called Following Jesus that'll help give you some simple, practical steps on where you go from here, how you avoid heading any of those other directions and focus completely on that true north. They'd love to pray with you. And if you have any questions, we'll have the ministry team down here as well. And if you feel like you need some help right now shifting that direction to true north, we'd love to pray with you. We'd love to encourage you and lift you up. So good, church. We've got our surf class right after this. We got some lunch that'll be there. We have childcare. Come and hang out with us and hear a little bit about what it means to be a C3 servant. God bless you, and remember to come back next week. We have an amazing guest pastor, Don McDonnell from Down Under. He's going to come bring us an amazing word. He has an amazing testimony about healing in his own life that he walks out every single day. So if you need healing or you know somebody who needs healing, bring him next week. It's going to be a great time. God bless you, church. Take care.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.